Supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change, and that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Rabitu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena. Rabitu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about the awaited hope for humanity.
Say فليس محبوب
يا ابن الحسن روحي فدا
Today, Thursday, is the 18th of Shaban, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 12th of Farvardin, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 1st of April, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment by recitation of chapter Anbiya, verse 105.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يوم نطوي السماء كطي السجل للكتب كما بدأنا أول خلق نعيده وعدا علينا إنا كنا فاعلين
The day when we will fold the heaven like the folding of a written sheet for the records. As we began the first creation, we will repeat it. That is a promise binding upon us. Indeed, we will do it.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Majmu'ul Bayan concerning this verse narrates a tradition from Imam Baqir alayhi salam. Alayhi salam, implying that those righteous servants whom Allah points to in this verse as the inheritor of the earth are the followers of Mahdi in the end of the time. Again, upon the explanation of this holy verse, it is cited in Tafsir Qummi that the objective meaning of the fact that the righteous servants of Allah will inherit the earth is Mahdi, the Qa'im, and his followers. May Allah hasten his reappearance.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Baqiyatullahi khayrun lakum in kuntum mu'minin. Wa ma ana 'alaykum bihafiz.
Imam al-Mahdi, the awaited hope for humanity. Each and every one of us has to be very cognizant of their acts in relation to the part we play during the occultation of the Mahdi. This period has been like none other before, nor is the test set upon the Muslim Ummah and humanity at large like any before. With lack of direct contact with the divine leader of the time and the many injustices that have overwhelmed today's society, resulting in moral demise. On another side, many seek the help of Allah and pray for the hasty reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi and his promised victory. Strong faith in the promised triumph in the midst of injustice and darkness is a means of separating the true believers from the rest. A brief look into history shows endless of these so-called followers who eventually betrayed their leaders and thus put eternal shame and disgrace on themselves. A perfect example being the story of the inhabitants of Kufa in Iraq at the time of the great ancestor of al-Mahdi, Imam Hussein, son of Imam Ali, for whom he weeps blood each day until the day of his reappearance.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Imam al-Mahdi salamullah alayhi as the 12th and the final infallible Imam in Islam, in whom we believe in Shiite Islam, has been the last and infallible Imam who is still alive, but in a state of occultation. Now we find that, such indications, all of them indicate that Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam is a universal leader, and that he will reappear and after his reappearance, he will go directly to Mecca. It shows that the world of Islam and the Islamic world and Kaaba as the symbol of the Islamic world will become a central place for the world peace. And at that time, we find that Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam will be very kind to people, I mean, to the oppressed, I mean, to those people who have long hoped in his reappearance in order to take not only the lives of those people who are alive, but the whole universe, I mean, the whole earth, the whole universe, to light, felicity, and relief. Because before the coming up of, before the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, a great majority of people in the world will feel rather hopeless. I mean, they will be frustrated. They will have experienced much frustration. So everybody, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, will certainly appreciate the coming of a universal savior in order to take them from darkness, from cruelty, from oppression, and from hardships to light, felicity, the relief, and knowledge. And then we find that Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam will be followed by hundreds of people who are very much attached to him, very much devoted to him, such that nothing would separate those people from around him. And in this regard, we find that there are many hadiths in that the associates and followers of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam will be attached to him, as we find that pieces of small iron will be attached to a very powerful magnet.
Is coronavirus a sign of the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi? That's our question. Let me reference an example from Imam Ali, where he says that before Imam Mahdi will reappear, 2/3 of the world's population would have already died, and the remaining 1/3 would subscribe to the wilayah of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim assalam. People are trying to strike an ill-informed correlation between this hadith and the coronavirus, concluding that we are near the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi. Now, what if this theory proves to be wrong tomorrow? Are we then going to claim that Imam Ali was wrong or that this hadith is wrong? Clearly not. Neither is Imam Ali wrong nor is this hadith necessarily wrong. The problem is that it is our short-sighted interpretation which is wrong. We need to also bear in mind that perhaps the understanding of this hadith could be different. Our role as we wait for Imam's reappearance: connect with marja'iyya, or religious authority. Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, commanded his followers to follow the most knowledgeable and most pious jurists in the seminaries during his occultation. Otherwise, following the religious opinion of unqualified individuals will not only lead the believers astray, but also cause suffering. It is an essential obligation upon all believers to choose a qualified jurist to follow and get correct direction and advice from him. This is why taqlid or emulation is obligatory.
يا حجة الله شكوانا إليه أدركنا أدركنا لبيك لبيك.
How do you think he's going to treat us? What do you think he's going to say when he comes back? Let me ask you this, in fact. If a father has gone away on a journey that lasts a year or 2 years or 5 years, when he comes back, what's he going to bring to his children other than souvenirs and love and affection? If the father was imprisoned for 5 years, 10 years, 20, 30 years, and then he comes back out, what's the first thing he's going to do? What do you think he's going to do? No, seriously. Doesn't he come back to his child and wipe his hand over his head and say, thank you? Thank you for believing in me. Thank you for waiting for me. Thank you for writing to me. Thank you for trying to reach out to me all these years, even though you couldn't reach me. And sure, you know, as children who grew up without a fatherhood, without a father figure over their head, of course they're going to turn out to be a little abnormal. Of course there's going to be issues here and there. Of course they're going to be, you know, they're going to have a record and they're going to be misbehaving and whatnot. But that's exactly what the father is there to do. The father is going to come back and say, listen, I know you had a rough time. I know it was painful. I know it was difficult for you. I know I wasn't there when you needed me, but I'm back now. And I'm here to fix you. I'm here to look after you. Which is why the hadith says that when the imam comes back, he will wipe his hand over the heads of his followers, over the heads of the Shia. حَتَّى تَكْمُلَ أَلْبَابُهُمْ حَتَّى تَكْمُلَ عُقُولُهُمْ. Their intellectual capacity will be fulfilled to its maximum level. And all forms of hatred and animosity between the believers, all of these things that you see today, all of these antagonisms that we have between fellow believers, brothers and sisters, all the reasons that we are divided, they will all disappear. Because our Father will be back. Our Father will be back after all this time. Unfortunately, as I said, the Imam has been introduced to us in the wrong fashion. The Imam is a loving Father. And that is why we need to continuously pray for His return. Never abandon belief in Him. And ask God to hasten His return as much as possible. He thinks about us. He's constantly wondering what we're going through, finding ways to help us maneuver through the maze that is this life. Traditions, this isn't just poetic language. Hadiths tell us, "Inna namradu limaradikum." We fall sick when you fall sick. If you have a headache, the Imam gets a headache before you do. SubhanAllah.
Allahumma, Allahumma, kulli wali, al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan.
Brothers and sisters, we reach to the end of this episode of today's special. Thank you very much for staying with us till now. And we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestion at parstoday.com/en. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
حتى تسكنه.
food for thought.
Hello everyone, and today on the 42nd anniversary of the nationwide referendum when 97% of people of Iran voted for the Islamic system of government under the leadership of Velayat Fakih, or the most knowledgeable jurisprudent, in the absence of the Lord of the Age, the Holy Prophet's 12th and last infallible heir, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance to establish a government of peace and justice. Let us listen to what the awaited savior of mankind has said in this regard. In case of occurring social problems, refer for guidance to those who relate from us, for they are my hujjah, or argumentation over you, and I am Allah's argumentation over them.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. We have reached a point in this tradition of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, the tradition of Junud al-Aql wa Jahl, or the tradition that speaks about the armies, or the units, or the soldiers, however you want to say it, of the intellect and of ignorance, where the Imam alayhi salam begins to mention these characteristics and these traits. The one point that can be mentioned here is, why does the Imam alayhi salam say units or jund, and does not just mention it as a trait, as one particular characteristic? Some of the commentators on the tradition have mentioned that it is because that each and every one of these characteristics that are mentioned, as we will see, have varying degrees. For example, an instance of one of them can be very weak, or an instance can be very strong, and so on and so forth. So therefore, there are very different instances to these concepts that the Imam has mentioned. So the first one that the Imam mentions obviously will be the most important. And we can see from the words of the Imam. For the Imam in the tradition says the word wazir, that the wazir is that advisor, is that, you know, overrider, that person who directly takes the commands from head office or from the command center to the regiment. This is the most important one. And the reason that these two traits have been mentioned, one for the intellect and one for ignorance or for jahal, is because it covers so much, that every single concept that is mentioned under the army, or as an army or as a trait, can fall under this category. And the same for foolishness. So the Imam says that among the 75 units that is for intellect and the other one for foolishness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave intellect khayr, or goodness. That goodness, or, you know, was given as the ahead and as the most important trait of the intellect. And as you see every other of the other traits, it is possible to say it is an act of goodness, it is an act of kindness. Even kindness is an act of goodness, and so on and so forth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made evil its rival. So on one hand, it is the commander and the wazir of intellect being goodness. On the other side, you have evil or shahr. And it was the wazir of foolishness. So you see that these two are in direct conflict with one another. And again, you say when something is bad, or something that is not good, is something that is evil. And therefore we can see that some of these scholars have also said that this is a metaphorical type of truth. And some will argue against it, you know, this is an independent being, because they say that evil in reality is an absence of good. It is not something that is created, it is not something that has a real existence. It is just the absence of good. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen our wazir, that is the army of goodness, and to defeat that side of our jahl, which is evil. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio, a program which aims to make us more familiar with the Holy Quran. This program consists of many interesting parts. We are going to listen to a recitation by a famous reciter. An expert of the tajweed of the Quran will analyze the recitation. And also, in the final part, we will have amazing stories about those people whose lives have been changed by the Noble Quran. Meanwhile, we will listen to some quotes of the late Imam Khomeini about the Noble Quran. You're tuned to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and I, Mehdi, ask you to stay tuned. According to Imam Khomeini, the Quran is the man-making book. Islam is the man-making ideology. Man in all his dimensions. Concerning the Holy Quran, Imam Khomeini has said, "Islam and the Quran made us victorious." Dear audience, now let's listen to the recitation of verses 59 to 63 of Surah Ali Imran, recited by Sayyid Hussain Musavian.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا مثل عيسى عند الله كمثل آدم خلقه من تراب ثم قال له كن فيكون الحق من ربك فلا تكن من الممترين فمن حاجك فيه من بعد ما جاءك من العلم فقل تعالوا فقل تعالوا ندع أبناءنا وأبناءكم ونساءنا ونساءكم وأنفسنا وأنفسكم ثم نبتهل فنجعل لعنة الله على الكاذبين إن هذا لهو القصص الحق وما من فإن تولوا فإن الله عليم بالمفسدين صدق الله العلي العظيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just listened to was the recitation of Surah Ali Imran, verses 59 to 63, by Brother Sayyid Hussein Musavi. And now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of tajweed. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. إن مثل عيسى عند الله كمثل آدم. In the word عيسى, we have a ya with a small alif, which is called alif al-maqsura, on top of it. And this ya is not read. This is one of the silent letters of wali. We have four letters that are sometimes silent. They are waw, alif, lam, and ya. In certain places, they are silent. This is one of the places where ya is silent. And that is when ya is the seat for the small alif, alif maqsura. Okay, so we say عيسى. We don't say عيسى. We say عيسى. عند الله. We have إخفاف نون ساكنة here. عند الله. We have تغليظ of the lam of Allah. عند الله, Allah. The lam is pronounced with تغليظ. كمثل آدم خلقه من تراب. In the word خلقه, we have to make sure that the lam is not affected by the تفخيم of the خاء and the قاف. خَلَقَهُ. Okay, if you say خَلَقَهُ or خَلَقَهُ or the تَرْقِيق of the lam affects the خَا or the قَاف, that would be incorrect as well. So we have to make sure that the lam is not affected in any way, either by تَفْخِيم of the خَا or it affects the خَا and قَاف and makes them مُرَقَّق. خَلَقَهُ مِن تُرَابَ ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُن فَيَكُون. In the phrase كُن فَيَكُون we have إِخْفَاءَ نُن سَاكِنَة. الْحَقُّ مِن رَبِّكَ فَلَا تَكُن مِنَ الْمُمْتَرِينَ. We have two types of إِدْغَام of نُن سَاكِنَة into one of the letters of يرملون in this verse. The first one is بِلَا غُنَّ مِن رَبِّكَ, and the second one تَكُمْ مِن is مَعَ الْغُنَّ. The first one is Ra. Ra is not a letter that entails nasalization, while Mim is a letter that requires nasalization whenever Idgham takes place into it. فَمَنْ حَاجَّكَ. We have مَدُّ اللَّازِم in this word. حَاجَّكَ. Because we have a letter with a shatta after the aliful mad. حَاجَّكَ فِيهِ مِن بَعْدِ. We have إقلاب of نون ساكنة here in the phrase مِن بَعْدِ because there is ba after the نون ساكنة. مِن بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ فَقُلْ تَعَالَوْ. جَاءَكَ we have مَدُّ الْمُتَّصِلِ. من العلم فقل تعالوا ندع أبناءنا وأبناءكم ونساءنا ونساءكم وأنفسنا وأنفسكم ثم نبتهل. All of these are مد المتصلس. And the place of doing waqf is really important in this verse. We should not stop on وأنفسنا وأنفسكم. We have to stop on ثُمَّ نَبْتَهِلْ, on نَبْتَهِلْ, just like the way Brother Sayyid Hussein Musavi stopped on نَبْتَهِلْ. So we have to make sure we start from فَقُلْ تَعَالَوْ نَدْعُ أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَنِسَاءَنَا وَنِسَاءَكُمْ وَأَنفُسَنَا وَأَنفُسَكُمْ ثُمَّ نَبْتَهِلْ. If you want to stop, we can stop here. Then ثُمَّ نَبْتَهِلْ فَنَجْعَلْ لَعْنَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَاذِبِينَ. إن هذا لهو القصص الحق. We have the تفخيم of صاد in قصص الحق. وما من إله إلا الله وإن الله لهو العزيز الحكيم فإن تولوا فإن الله عليم بالمفسدين. We have two rules of نون ساكنة in this verse, the last verse. فإن تولوا is إخفاء and إقلاب إن عليم بالمفسدين. Thank you very much, your listeners of Arab English Radio, for listening to this segment of Let's Recite the Quran. I invite you to listen to the next segment of this program. Thank you.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. In continuing our story on the interaction between Sayyidi Hibbatuddin al-Shahristani and that particular non-Muslim scholar who was in that particular gathering, whatever the gathering may be, it's not mentioned in the story what the gathering was about, but it was an intellectual discussion, a gathering of scholars, and the verse of the Holy Quran being recited over the radio. That is the verse from Surah Qasas, the 28th Surah of the Holy Quran, verse number 7. It speaks about Musa alayhi salam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, speaking to her and, you know, giving wahi to her. Now there is
a theological discussion that can be had, but this is not the place to speak about it. The concept of wahi and the difference between this wahi and wahi ilahi and the variations of wahi. But inshallah, for the scholars and the brothers who are doing it, the tafsir or the exposition, inshallah, they will explain that this is not our discussion. But anyway, back to the story. So anyway, as we saw that there was a friend of this non-Muslim, that non-Muslim who got, you know, influenced and affected by this verse of the Holy Quran in terms of its eloquence, in terms of its beauty. One of his friends said, basically this lady is saying that this is how I explain it, and this is how Allah subhanahu, and there's not really that much difference in it. Sayyid Hibbatuddin says, no, this is not the case. He says that particular young girl only mentioned a small part of the verse. But she just mentioned, for example, there were two statements, there were two commands, two things that, you know, one should not do, two things that one should do, and there were two glad tidings. This is a part of it. There is a lot more that we can do and we can delve into it. In conclusion, before we actually get into some of the types and the examples that the Sayyid gave, that shows the beauty of this one verse. And the, you know, if you had to think about it, a person who had to write this verse had to really put a lot of effort into thinking about it in this way. Obviously, we're speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is us, therefore, who by understanding these intricacies of the Holy Quran, come to understand its grandeur and greatness. So the Sayyid mentions 12 things that are of a dual nature in this verse. For example, the two statements that are propositions. Then he adds, he says, there are two verbs that are past perfect. And he says there are two, for example, active words, or what you call them, isme fa'il. Isme fa'il is that word that indicates the agent and the acting agent. There are two words that are maf'ul, I mean those things that the acting agent acts upon, you know, and so on and so forth. And he mentions all of these things. It's quite lengthy, so we don't want to get into it. And after mentioning all of this and explaining this to that particular group, gathering and that group of people, that particular non-Muslim got even more influenced and attracted to the Holy Quran by the explanation that the Sayyid gave. So we see, my dear brothers and sisters, that the Holy Quran has deep intricacies. It is up to us to go and find them. It is not going to pop in, you know, or just show itself like this. No, we have to go sit and ponder upon the Holy Quran. That's what the Holy Quran says. Don't you ponder, don't you think. One of the places we should do it is on the verses of the Holy Quran, even if it's just on the linguistic side of things. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir, and you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
Mm-hmm. lecture.
Sheikh Asad Ja'fari.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون صدق الله العلي العظيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. A view from within, an analysis of the self, has been our ongoing topic. Our attempt from day number one that I've been with you is to understand the self, to know the self, to have knowledge of the self, ma'arifatun nafs. And in the context that this is, meaning we as individuals, we are vehicles to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's our purpose, he's our destination, he's our maqsad. And if the vehicle is not equipped, not strong enough, and we don't know the ins and outs of the vehicle, the journey becomes a little bit difficult for us. We don't know if we're able to get there or not. And so it is an extremely important knowledge to know about yourself. Now, we've opened up this discussion, filtered it down to very nitty-gritty practical discussions. We talked about the idea of tahliya and tahliya now, right? Pulling the weeds and planting the seeds. And for the past few nights, we've been looking at various seeds of growth that we want to plant to see them grow into that, that idea of them being tajalli manifestations. And just to name a few of what we've talked about in the past, number one, being a forgiving person, the importance of reliance and certainty. And yesterday we talked about a very important process of musharaka, muraqaba, muhasiba. And we use the source of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi. In his 40 hadith book, hadith number one, talks about the struggle of the self. In today's discussion, I thought it would be important that we discuss the importance of our individual development towards Allah in a collective nature. The problem that I have been seeing now, and it's getting a little bit now more and more serious, and that is that we have kind of reduced the deen. I have reduced the deen to be nothing but an individualistic religion. It's me, myself, and God. And I've spoken about this in various communities, talk about the fact that, this Western society, really the global village in general, now there is no West or East anymore, the global village in general talks about the fact that, look, you just worry about yourself and don't worry about anybody else, right? It's your grave, it's your akhirat, it's your hereafter, it's your happiness, it's your grief, it's your journey to God, right? It's none of anyone's business. And so the moment that we adopt that mentality, a lot of things that the deen has been promoting since day number one fall to the side. And it's very obvious through very small things that I want to remind myself of and all of you of the fact that the deen has always been about the jama'ah, about the ijtima', not the infirad, not the fard, right? So I often say the deen is an infiradi, it's not an infiradi deen, it's the ijtima'i deen. Now, a lot of you argue, and you have not argued, we've had good, healthy discussions about the fact that, look, ultimately, it is you and your amal, right? Ultimately, in the grave, Allah will ask you your amal and nobody else, right? The whole community, your family, your loved ones, your friends, they won't be in your grave. They won't accompany you in the hereafter. No, it'll be you, yourself, and you. And while there is truth to that, and I'm not saying that, we deny the idea that there is a very individualistic dimension of bu'adi infiradi inside the deen. But in light of the fact that when we compare both of them, the development of the fard actually is at a higher rate, at a more successful rate, when that individual begins to now inject itself into the jama'ah and the community. I'll give you a few very simple examples. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salat, okay? Let's look at through a fiqhi aspect, and then we go through a little bit of a social, political discussion as well, right? So in fiqh, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes surah al-hamd wajib in your daily salat, correct? The second surah in the first two rakats of any salat, you have the freedom to choose whatever surah you wish, so long as in the Shia fiqh, it is a complete surah. Our Sunni brothers are allowed to recite only portions of the surah. We have to have alhamd plus a surah, right? So if you begin Surah Baqarah for some reason in Fajr namaz, inshallah, may Allah protect you if you do that, then you are to complete that entire surah, okay? May Allah accept that salat, inshallah, that will go from Fajr all the way until maybe Zuhar, khair. But alhamd is not in our ikhtiyar, it's not in our freedom. We don't have that choice. Okay. Why alhamd now? In alhamd now, you know, there's many, many times where the sirayeh of the jam is used. For example, we start off by saying, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din. And then we end up becoming plural. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in, ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. You alone we worship, you alone we ask for help, guide us to the right path, or keep us guided to the right path. You're in your house, you're by yourself, you're inside your room, maybe there's no jamaat happening, maybe you're reading farada, I don't know. But nowhere does it say in the fiqh that because you are by yourself reading inside your room, you can all of a sudden change the pronouns. Iyaka a'budu wa iyaka astain, you alone I worship, you alone I ask for, no. Even though you are by yourself, but for some reason it's a we discussion. Even to the point, I still remember this incident or story in my time at home. I was with one of my teachers just before Zohar Adhan inside the Haram of Bimas Maqum, Salamu Alayha, and we're having a mubahasa together, and you know, Zohar, middle of the day in Qom, you know, schools are shut down, the houses, of course, classes are ending at the Adhan of Zohar, many of the banks, the shops, everything kind of course, the moment the Adhan hits, everybody goes and runs to their local masajid. The Haram was always packed at Zohar Salat. So there we were, me and my Ustad, having, you know, about to pray Salat, and we begin Zohar, and in between Zohar, now there must have been thousands of people in that Jama'at, thousands of people. In that massive hall that they had made as an extension of the Haram. And I remember, you know, we went into a ruku, and from the way, all the way from the back, there was one man, top of his lungs, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. And the Imam of the Jamaat heard him. And so he begins to, as you know, as the fiqh says, prolong your dhikr of ruku, so he could what? He could muttasil, he could join the Jamaat. This one man. Now, of course, we're following the Jama'at, right? So as the Imamid Jama'at extends the dhikr of the ruku, we also have to extend our dhikr, at least extend the ruku itself. So now there's thousands of people, men, women at the top of the balcony, children, we are all in ruku, extending for this one person from the corner of the haram, Ya Allah, for him to join. So we all have to kind of extend our salat so this one man can join into the jama'at. And after the salat, the teacher turns to me and says, look how much Allah wants us to be one movement towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, look, extend your namaz, that's fine, but don't exclude that one person from this jama'at prayer. I mean, it's such a beautiful, simple concept that we have. Right. It's obvious that the deen talks about collectivism. Right. Even within our du'as, for example, Oh Allah, feed the hungry. Oh Allah, pay back, help the debts of those who are in debt. Oh Allah, you know, release the captives. All everything that we read every single day of the month of Ramadan, right? Allahumma aslih kulli fasidin min umurin muslimin. Oh Allah, fix the affairs, change the affairs. Those incorrect affairs of what? Of the Muslimin, not me, not my family, everybody. I'm sitting there in my house, you know, just before iftar or just at maghrib time, asking for all of the umur in Muslimin, not even mu'mineen, Muslimin. And in Muslims, everybody is shaman. Those who accept the Ahl al-Bayt, those who don't accept the Ahl, everybody is included. So initially, the deen has always been about the collective nature. And obviously, our hadith talk about the thawab that one has praying jama'at prayer, right? Feeding the poor, for example, Right. It's incredible how the penalty, the kafara, that you are to pay if, God forbid, I was to break, you know, with conditions, of course, if I was to break a fast in the month of Ramadan, you know, the maximum kafara, maximum penalty is to what? Is to feed 60 people or to keep 60 fasts in a row. It's amazing how Allah says, in your time of happiness, if somebody is to, you know, have a newborn child inside their home, Allah blesses them with a child, or a home, or Hajj. It's something called a walima that we do, right? Hajj, a house, a child, and a wedding. Four occasions that we have that are mustahab for a walima. What is a walima? A walima is, even though it was your individual Hajj and your individual child, and you bought the house, right? And you know, you're getting married. Islam says for you to celebrate the blessings of Allah giving you, you now have to what? Feed the jama'ah, include the jama'ah, invite the community, invite your extended family, and even your in-laws. Yes, even the in-laws. Invite them over and feed them. Meaning, your one individual act, the way Allah wants you to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to collectively now include others in that khushi and happiness. Small things that are just pointing to the fact that this is not an individualistic deen. It's not about me, myself, and me. No, it's not. It's not about you, yourself, and you. It is. It never was. The first thing the Prophet of Allah did in Medina was what? He built a mosque, and he built homes attached to that mosque. An ideal community is to have your mosque in a radius of it being accessible by foot. There should be homes of the Muslims of that mosque all around. What beautiful image that is, that the adhan from the masjid, and we leave our house and we walk towards the masjid. That's a community. And a community is made up of individuals, but yes, we travel towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ummatun wahidatan, the Quran refers to us. We're one nation. Right? We're one nation. And we sometimes think that my actions shouldn't affect others, or that my actions don't need to affect others, or why is it that I have to worry about somebody else? Sometimes my youth, you know, the things that we post on social media. And if anybody has the audacity or the gall or the himmat or the courage to say anything, all in the guise of Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahi bin Munkar, then they're blasted. Who are you? Whether I take off my hijab or not, it's none of your business. Who I marry is none of your business. What I post on social media, the language I use in my posts, right, the R&B hip-hop artist that I promote, is none of your business. But it is my business. Like, you've made it public. I shouldn't assume that my public events or my public now decisions don't affect others. It does affect others. The moment that we take on the collectivism ideology, then yeah, we become very conscious of our actions. How will me saying this, doing this, affect others? You know, I saw a post recently, someone had shared it with me. It's not a hadith, obviously. It's just somebody's quote, right? Just a random guy on Instagram who was saying that, you know, like basically what he was saying was, leave a positive mark in this world. Like, what is your legacy in this world? How will you be remembered? And leave behind those things that when you're long gone, you know, those things remain and will represent you in a positive way, or will even become witnesses for you in a positive way on the Day of Judgment. And he gives the example of posts on social media. What are we posting out there? What are we throwing out there? You know, I'm scrolling in my timeline. I'm going through my IG, you know, my various videos and IGTV and everything, going through my tweets. And am I that one Twitter handle that somebody can expect really good things, small little things to kind of remind us of our consciousness and our goodness, leaving my legacy behind, leaving my goodness behind? Or am I somebody who my legacy is something that is completely opposite?
صلِّ على محمد.